I'm Bill Gates, and I'd like to ask you a question. Is a man not entitled to online gaming? No, says the Wii. He just wants to hook up his Game Boy. No, says Sega. We're out of business. No, says the PS3. He's not entitled to indie games at all. I rejected these ideals. Instead, I chose something different. I chose the reasonably priced. I chose Xbox! The console where the user would not be limited by friend codes, where the gamer could actually play third-party titles and not just Mario crap. And with your patience of hardware failures, Xbox can be your console too. Ha 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 ha!
Hello, and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I'm your host, Ben Heckendorn, / Ben Heck.
Wow, it went the other way that time.
Yeah, I decided to mix things up a little.
Because usually you're just Ben Heck.
I know, unfortunately. It's sad. Jason Jones is here, too, or Jones.
Yes.
That's your new J-Lo name.
Ugh.
Well, sorry this one was a few days late. Jones was out in South Dakota or something.
That's right. Good times. Got to check out Devil's Tower and...
Was Richard Dreyfuss there?
Unfortunately, no. I did get to go to Kevin Costner's bar and casino in Deadwood, though.
That was really
pretty sweet. Yeah.
Oh, Deadwood? Like the TV show Deadwood?
Yeah, they actually filmed that there, I guess. The town's pretty cool. It's actually like
Just the same old kind of shitty town that it always was, or what?
It's actually the entire town is like a national historic landmark or whatever, you know, they call it. It's like the whole freaking town is, and like the whole downtown area, it's, you know, all done up, like, it's all cleaned up and, you know, looks nice and stuff, but it's like the buildings are all brick and all that, and the bank in the town, it's, you know, a current bank that gets used and all that, but it's like made out of wood and all that, like on the outside. It's
pretty cool.
So they
filmed Deadwood and Deadwood?
In the area. I don't know if they film it right in the downtown, but people said that they film it in that area.
Well, that's better than what's usually par for the course, you know, filming the movie Chicago in Toronto.
Yes. So that was pretty sweet. Yeah.
Cool.
Didn't get to see Costner, though, either, but it was pretty kick-ass to be in a part of the world where people appreciate Kevin Costner, so...
Don't they appreciate him everywhere?
They should, but they don't.
Hey, is this movie about the Bay of Pigs, or not the Bay of Pigs, the Cuban Missile Crisis, is that any good?
Yeah, 13 Days.
Is that pretty good?
Yeah, it's really good. I like that. I think that's actually your roommate Dave's favorite movie.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's what Dale told me.
Huh, I wonder if Dale has it. I should look at that, because I like JFK, which, you know, if you're going to have some sort of, you know Kennedy era thing going on, you got to have Kevin Costner.
That's
He's
right.
He's got to be in there. All right, well, today's topics, we kind of thought of off the cuff, as usual. But Jones sent me an article today that was kind of interesting, so we're going to discuss. Does an M rating help a game's quality or sales? Now, much to do about nothing is made about game ratings these days, you know, with everyone from Hillary Clinton to Arnold Schwarzenegger talking about laws. Well, yeah. But... It seems like a lot of the best games just happen to be rated M as well.
Yeah, like the best reviewed, and as far as sales, also a lot of the time, it seems like the M games are the big ones. So
we'll talk about that.
And this article kind of talked about that as well. So
kind of brought it up, and it's like, oh yeah, I never really thought about that. I didn't.
Yeah.
But I would bet most of the games I have downstairs for like the PS2 and Xbox are all rated M.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when you're 17 or 16, it's like, oh, I saw an R-rated movie. You kind of notice it. But then nowadays, I mean, we don't even care.
No, it doesn't matter, really. Well, I mean, we notice if it's not, I guess.
Right.
It's kind of like Rumble. You don't really notice it until it's not there.
Yes, like if you're playing the PC version of Bioshock with a mouse. All right, our second topic, something that comes up a lot. Our second topic is food. Seems that quite often we
What is it?
How does it affect the working man?
Inquiring minds want to know.
So since we always end up talking about food, we're going to just have a whole topic about food. I'm sure it'll be completely unstructured, so...
should be pretty humorous, since Ben and I probably have about the blandest taste in food in the world, but I'm sure it'll be entertaining on some level.
Yep.
So you've been warned.
Our third and final topic is simply new games we've been playing. Jones told me that sometimes when people are interviewed, you know, like if you're interviewing a musician, the person will say, what CDs are you listening to these days?
Yep. Yeah, somebody actually suggested it on the site, and it seemed like a good idea, so...
On my site?
Yeah, it was in the comments, I think, for the last podcast.
And I was I guess I missed that.
I think it was in the same thread that said, hey, you should do a topic about food, so...
Oh, okay.
But I was like, hey, that's a good idea. I mean, it's kind of... I think he was indicating it as something more like, you know, that we would do every podcast, but...
Yeah, okay, well, we'll try to do that every podcast, but now it's going to be a topic.
Yeah, we're going to go really balls to the wall with it this time.
Okay, so those are our topics. Hang on for a fun, exciting thrill ride, and expect the unexpected in a world. News items!
I am Andrew Ryan. It's just so fun to say, I can't help it.
I was reading something on, I don't know, some website. I'm so specific. And it was like...
We don't name our sources.
There is no fact-checking here in Verona. Anyway, it's like Watergate. 30 years from now, I will tell you who the source of this article was. But for now, they are deep throats. Now I must go to a parking garage. That was a good movie, too.
Yeah.
That All the President's
Men. Oh, God, that movie is awesome. Great cast.
Too. Oh, yeah. apparently, some website was postulating on a Bioshock movie and who should be in it. And, of course, they had all these... they're like, director, Ridley Scott.
Oh, jeez.
I hate Ridley Scott. Ugh. And they said, as a runner-up, well, it's underwater, so James Cameron. And I'm thinking, you cockbags.
Runner-up to Ridley Scott.
Dare say such a thing. Oh, I'm not sure, you know, the person's thinking, Alien? Aliens! Ridley Scott is one of those directors who I just do not care for.
He's made some good stuff, but he's incredibly overrated. I figure he's the new guy that everybody's going to take the torch up for since Scorsese finally got his, you know, token Oscar that they threw at him.
Did Scorsese ever make Legend?
No, thank goodness.
You know, I didn't think Blade Runner was that great, and I'm sure several of our listeners probably stopped listening right there. But
Blade Runner is pretty overrated. It's good, but it's way... To me, the only really great movie he's made is Alien, but
right.
That's that.
Alien is... I liked it, but of course, you know, I swear in a stack of Bibles that the second one is superior.
See, I'm gonna put myself out there, and I'll just say I think it's the worst of the four Alien movies.
What?
But that's the reality.
Come on, any movie where a woman can duct tape a gun to a flamethrower and get nominated for an Oscar, what more do you want?
I don't know. Maybe they were smoking a lot of dope when they nominated people in those days. I don't know. I don't know. It just doesn't do much for me.
Well, anyway, I was thinking, you know who would have been a perfect Andrew Ryan, even though he's dead? But like a 1940s Orson Welles would have been an ideal Andrew Ryan.
Maybe pretty good.
You know, before he started, you know, getting really fat.
Yes.
I'm Andrew Ryan, and I'd like to ask you a question. Did you bring any food down with you in the bathosphere? Because I'm hungry. I will sell no wine before it's time.
And Clive Owen could be Atlas.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Since he's got, like, the accent and everything.
So who would be Sandra fucking Cohen?
Oh, Jesus. That could be, like, Paul Giamatti or something. You could find somebody other than that, but... I don't know, it could be a good time. See, Bioshock's one where I wouldn't mind seeing a movie made of it. Because it's a very cinematic game anyways, so it kind of lends itself to that, I think.
But James Cameron is too busy making Avatar or whatever.
Or whatever the hell it is he's working on.
It's Avatar. I really wanted to make Battle Angel Alita, but I guess It's not my choice.
I'd just like him to make something.
Coming out. It's Memorial Weekend 2009.
Oh, so they actually dated it now.
Oh, okay. Are you ready for Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull?
And the Kingdom of Who Gives a Shit?
It's like, for any of you who didn't think Phantom Menace was a stupid title, here's Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Actually, Phantom Menace, if you think about it, was actually a really good pulpy title.
Yeah, I always liked that title. The only one I thought that was dumb was the Attack of the Clones one.
Right. I mean, I know they're all technically B-movies, but still. Yeah. Raiders of the Lost Ark is awesome, but Kingdom of the Crystal Skull sounds like something that'd be on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to be... So that basically does confirm that it's going to involve aliens, Area 51.
Yeah.
Because it was originally going to be called like Indiana Jones, or one of the titles was Indiana Jones and the City of the Gods, but by gods they were actually referring to aliens.
Yeah. So does our bet still stand for that?
I think it'll make a shitload of money opening weekend. It doesn't matter if it's any good.
Oh yeah, but you said 100 million, right?
I raised it, didn't I?
You probably did, but whatever.
I'm going to raise it $150 million.
Oh Jesus! I'll take the frickin' Pepsi challenge on that one.
See, years ago, before Spider-Man was the first movie to break $100 million opening weekend, Jones and I bet on Indiana Jones 4, and you were like, it'll never make over $100 million in one weekend. No movie could make that much. And then I'm like, I bet you 50 cents it will. And then Spider-Man came out, and I'm like, see? And then Jones probably was like, Christ.
I still don't see Indiana Jones doing it.
We should do a whole topic on that movie sometime, because...
Yeah.
I'd be more worried about the Lucas factor than the Spielberg factor.
Yeah, Spielberg's still making quality movies. Sure, he might get a little, you know, he doesn't quite know how to end them sometimes, but overall they're generally pretty solidly done and well made.
Yeah, if he made Raiders of the Lost Ark now, you'd see that guy putting the Ark in the big warehouse, and then after he put it there, he would, like, go make a sandwich and drink a cup of coffee. And they would go home to his wife.
And the cleaning lady would come through and...
Yep.
Knock the dust off it or
something.
It'd
be another 20 minutes regardless. Okay, I think we better move on.
Oh, well, yeah.
We're being nice and rambling, though.
Yes, people like rambling, we've found, so... I know I enjoy it.
So yes, Orson Welles should be in
Free
Bioshock,
Association. Orson Welles and Clive Owen. I don't know who the hell will be the hero, but we'll figure that out.
Alec Baldwin.
It won't be Shia LaBeouf.
Ugh.
Ooh, Alec Baldwin would be cool. We'd have to fit him in there somewhere.
I've got Eric Baldwin.
He could be Andrew Ryan.
Yeah, he'd be good. Yeah. Okay, as long as it's not Vince Vaughn, who he kind of looks like in the opening movie.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, anyway,
so we have news items or something.
Yeah, well, Bioshock was a news item until it turned into the Indiana Jones Superpower Hour.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, tell me about your recent purchase.
Bioshock?
No. That thing you
yes,
bought.
The little QWERTY pad or whatever, the messenger kit for the 360, that thing that they announced probably 4 or 5 months ago now. When they brought out the spring update that added the instant messaging capability to the 360, so you could talk to people on their Windows PCs from your 360 through IM. Well, they finally brought out this little keypad thing that hooks onto the bottom of your controller and allows you to type much like you would on a BlackBerry or a Windows mobile device or whatever. Makes it much simpler to text message or do the IM stuff than it was before, where you had to scroll around to the different keys on the screen and click the button and all that, and it was lame before. But now this thing's pretty cool. It comes with its own new headset and everything because it's got a different connection point on it.
How's the headset?
Haven't even used it yet.
Is it as chintzy as the other one?
It's, like, exactly the same as the other one. The only things that are different are the connector, and then they moved the mute and volume thing onto the cord, much like how this thing has this right here.
Oh, yes, for all the...
Not that people can see this.
Podcast.
But, you know, I'm sure people have seen these sorts of headsets before where they put it in the cable instead of right at the base of it. So.
Oh, I had an idea for an intro, maybe a video podcast intro. It'd probably be too hard to do. It was Law & Order Special Rapture Unit. And have...
No. I am Andrew Ryan.
Oh, yeah? Where were you last Tuesday?
But, yeah, so that thing's pretty cool, and it's got, like, it lights up and all that, so, like, you can type on it in the dark or
green.
Whatever. No, it's just regular backlighting.
Oh, it's just white?
Yeah.
It's not green?
No.
That's weird.
Well, it's supposed to be a little harder to see if it was green, but, And, like, when you hit the shift key, that'll stay lit up until you hit whatever key it is that you want to have capitalized, and once you do that, that'll, like, darken out again or whatever. It's kind of interesting how it works.
Can you hold it and push a letter?
Yeah, I believe so. If I remember right. And so then it's got, it's got, like, an orange button. Like, there's, you know, you look at each button on the pad, and there's, like, a, you know, like, the exclamation point will be green on the whatever it is, the Q letter or whatever, and then there's, like, some other orange character on there, so then there's an orange button you hit to do the orange characters, a green button you hit to do the green characters.
Oh, and I get it. Okay.
So it's, I don't know, it's
so
pretty...
So it's kind of like a Timex Sinclair Spectrum computer keyboard.
Exactly, yes, just like that.
Someone out there will
For
get
all
it.
Two of you that know what that is.
For our European listeners.
But yeah, it's,
Should I get one?
If you do any sort of, like, messaging on your 360, I think it's worth it.
Well, I'm convinced.
And it does, you know, it does add a little weight to the controller. It doesn't get in the way of gameplay at all, but I have noticed that it does feel, you know, a little beefier, like the controller wants to tip back inward a little bit more because it's on the base of the controller.
My impression was it made the controller look kind of like the Atari Jaguar controller.
Yeah, it does, actually.
No! Wee!
Except much more functional.
Alright, Alright.
So yeah, worth $30, I would say.
I think I'll go buy one. Why not?
Apparently other people wanted to get them because I went to a couple places and they were sold out, and then I got the last one at good old Circuit City, so...
Circuit City is awesome. I'm not paid to say that, although I'd still say it if I was paid to say it.
They are really cool because I picked up Gun for $11 there at the same time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In that bin?
Yep. It was like it was priced at 16 something, but they said that all their stuff that ends in a 6 that's in that bin, it's like marked down even further.
Oh.
So it was like $16.96. I got it for like $11.36.
Is it any good?
Yeah, it's fun. You know, it's not the greatest game in the world.
Worth $11.
But for $11, shit, yeah. Plus, it's, you know, a Western game, which you hardly ever see those, so...
What about Call of Juarez?
I gotta check that one out at some point, but that one's gonna be a game fly, I think.
I downloaded the demo. I wasn't... I don't know. It's all right. You can select the Bible and read from it as a weapon. I don't know exactly what that does, but you can do it. I'm like, what is this?
Maybe you could beat somebody with it.
The power of Christ compels you, because I am Andrew Ryan. Is that the new Welcome to California?
I think so.
All right, I saw an article, Bioshock sold 1.5 million copies. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's only been out, what, like a month now?
And they use the F word, franchise.
Yeah.
I think they should make a prequel, like Oblivion.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that... Would you buy it?
Oh, hell yes. I mean, like I've said, that's easily the best game I've played since Oblivion. It's like, I'd put it on my list of best games I've ever played.
I'm sure it'll probably, you know, win the Game of the Year awards or whatever. Once again, a 360 PC game winning the Game of the Year awards.
Yeah. Because it's like, I played through it right away, I wanted to play through it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm already thinking about playing through it again. It's like after, you know, I've played it for 30-some hours now, whatever the hell it is, you know, and it's like, yeah, I want to still play through it again, you know.
I wonder if you could play through it without using... I think it'd be fun to try it with only a few plasmids, like Freeze and Levitate or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could get away with only having a few.
One thing I did notice with that game is that they cut something out of it, because if you go out on... Xbox Live Marketplace, there was this video you could download called Hunting the Big Daddy that I think I showed it to you a couple months back before the game came out, and in that video they showed where there was going to be a plasmid that would allow you to teleport.
Oh, really?
And that plasmid does not exist in the game, because they showed where, like, you could... You were in the middle of this crazy battle with the Big Daddy, then all of a sudden you, like, teleported away to this other section of the map. So that must have been something they decided to cut out of the final game. Hmm. Or it's going to be downloadable content down the road. One or the other.
Horse armor!
Yeah, I watched that video a couple weeks back, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's not in the game. But then I played through it again, and I'm like, yeah, it's not in here.
Kind of like movie trailers.
Fun fact. So.
All right, let's move on to our topics.
Awesome.
So our first topic is, does an M rating help a game's quality or sales? I wrote down, again, I hadn't really thought about this until you mentioned it, but I kind of picked some out of my butt. Oh, top selling, you know, very high selling games that are rated M. You know, obviously the Grand Theft Auto series, Metal Gear Solid series, Halo, Gears of War, and Oblivion, because that's now rated M, you know, because there's a texture of a boob on the disc.
Yes.
Whatever caused that to happen.
Heaven forbid.
Notable exceptions, I don't know if you can think of some more. I thought of Gran Turismo and Final Fantasy, because I don't think Final Fantasy is rated M, is it?
I can't imagine it is. I don't see why it would be. I noticed in Blue Dragon they say bastard a lot. That must be something that they're, I guess, okay with. Since it's by the Final Fantasy guy. But, yeah, I don't know. I can't really think of...
What are some other, like...
Well, I'm sure like, you know, the Mario games, of course, would be, you know, up there in the Zeldas, of course.
I know
would be.
We beat this into the dirt. But... Yeah, they're not as high selling as a lot of these other games.
Yeah, well, and a big part of the reason their sales were so high, which nobody ever talks about, was because they were bundled with the systems. But
and those are the only games for the system.
Yeah, but they did sell well.
Isn't Mario 3 still the top selling game of all time? Of course, that was a long time ago. Look, I have it on my desk.
Look, there it is.
Top selling game. It's everywhere.
Every room of the house. But yeah, so
I'm Andrew Ryan. A chicken in every pot, and a Mario 3 cartridge in every Nintendo.
Yes!
I'm going to go to the Chinese restaurant tonight and say, I'm Andrew Ryan! Give me some food!
Is man not entitled to General Tso's chicken?
A parasite asks, where is my chicken?
God, yes.
Bioshock is awesome.
Yes. It definitely lives up to the hype and then some.
And it was rated M.
Yes,
all
ironic.
All right, so let's discuss, is it just because people want M-rated games, or does having rated M make it actually better?
I don't know, I think it's probably a mixture of both. Like, I think a lot of the allure of Grand Theft Auto probably originally was the fact that, oh, look, I can just go around randomly killing people and, you know, jumping in cars with hookers and whatever, but in the end, the game is actually pretty good, and I think, you know, that somehow that all kind of... That's kind of one of the exceptions, I think, where it is actually a good game, but I think a lot of people were drawn to it in the first place because it did all these risque things. You know.
Well, that just made me think of something. Perhaps the reason a lot of these games are rated M is because these games allow you to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, let's say you had Grand Theft Auto and it was rated T for teen or whatever. You probably wouldn't be able to just shoot random pedestrians in.
No, you'd be kind of chained down.
So maybe when they open up a game, it just lends itself, you know, well, the player could do this, so the game has to, like, be rated higher to accommodate
that. Yeah. I think the thing, like, for my money, I'd say having a game rated M in a lot of cases, much like with movies, makes them better, or at least gives them the opportunity to be better because they can explore more mature subject matter and make the games closer to reality. You know, it's kind of like, that's kind of stupid to say reality when you talk about a game like Bioshock, but maybe almost logical.
What are you talking about? I built an underwater utopia just last week. I'm Ben Heckendorf.
But I mean, maybe logical is the better word. You know, like you're sitting there and you're like, holy crap, that thing's way up on the shelf. I can't get to it. It's like, oh, I wonder how I get to that. Oh, wait, I've got telekinesis. And you just go and pull it to you.
What does that have to do with the rating, though?
Well, it's just I'm saying it's more about like opening up the world and allowing people to go further with things. So, like, in that case, of course, it doesn't lend itself to the M rating, but, you know, in a game like Oblivion, you know, let's say, you know...
Well, throwing corpses at people probably, you know...
might necessitate that, but... or sucking the life out of a little girl, you know.
Yeah.
But, pulling some sort of parasite out of her, but, you know, in, like, an Oblivion, you know, the world's very open-ended, so you can... I was actually kind of surprised that game wasn't an M anyways. But for kind of the reason you were talking about with the open world, you know, you can just walk up to a shopkeeper and kill them and take all their stuff if you want. I mean, it's very much like Grand Theft Auto, except even denser.
Grand Theft Horse.
Yeah. But I don't know, it's just, you know, like with movies, the R rating, which is, you know, pretty much analogous to the M rating, it allows filmmakers to not really be inhibited for the most part. And so they can explore subject matter in greater detail. And
yeah, like whenever they talk about taking an R-rated movie and chopping it down to PG-13, like the latest one is Sweeney Todd, there's a rumor that I don't really believe that. I mean, I read it I think it was in like a British tabloid, so
okay,
it's like, yeah, Warner Brothers is like, yeah, Tim Burton, you know those Batman movies you made, and yeah, Charlie,
you know all that Charlie money Becker? You made for us.
Well, yeah, we're gonna chop your movie from an R to a PG-13. Oh yeah, and Johnny Depp has no sway at all either, so. Yeah, it's probably bullshit. The thing is, when they do that sort of thing in Hollywood, they're like, oh, they're watering down the vision, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I guess that's a good way of putting it. I mean, if everything fits within a, like, a G-rated or an everyone or even a teen, it tends to be kind of homogenized and not as interesting, usually. Well, one thing I looked up, I mean, I was pretty sure that I thought most Best Picture movie winners were usually R, but... it's actually about half, but it's still fairly considerable.
Well, and still, if you look at that, though, okay, 50, let's say 50% of Best Picture winners have been rated R since they've been doing the ratings, anyway. You know, it's like, well, that's still pretty good, because, you know, you got PG-13, PG, and NC-17, because there was actually a movie that
Midnight
was...
Cowboy?
Yep, that was rated X that won, and G... And so, you know, out of all those other ratings, for one of them to have 50% is pretty significant.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, it's... And I think that kind of ties...
Well, especially considering, you know, the fact they don't make a lot of R-rated movies. I think they're starting to get back to it.
Yeah, I think they're realizing that there is money to be made there.
They're like, oh, look, Wedding Crashers,
300.
Yeah, it's like, they're making tons of money. It wasn't 300, it was like one of the top films of the year, like the top...
Yeah, it made over 200 million.
Yeah.
And, like, Knocked Up, you know, movies like that are rated R, and they're making
Superbad
money.
Was Superbad rated R?
Yeah.
And that's made over $100 million. And they make some, like Evan Almighty or whatever. It's, like, PG and...
It costs way too much and makes no money.
And nobody cares. But then Superbad, you know, probably costs, like, $15 million.
Yeah. But, hey, you know what? It's kind of a throwback to the, you know, Porky's days and all that or whatever, you know, just... screwball comedy, raunchy, whatever. And
I think people just like things that are realistic and not watered down. I mean,
yeah,
I know I do.
That's what I like. You know, it's you like movies when you can relate to the characters in them, you know.
Okay, well, how about this? What about... Okay, so video games have been violent for a long time. Then language started coming into them.
Yeah, that's kind of
like
the new thing
curve.
In the last few years with more voice acting and...
How do you feel about that? I mean, as far as, like, the rating is concerned. Like, in Bioshock, there's some strong language.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's bullshit, haha, you know, whatever, but the language really even factors into much of anything, because it's like a word's a word, you know, it just depends on how it's used,
well,
I guess.
Well, it factors into a movie's rating, you know, say fuck twice or say it in a sexual sense and you got an R.
Well, I think it's just as stupid with the movie ratings, but, you know, it's like, if you're going to hold the movies to that standard, people accept that standard, okay, fine, let's hold video games to the same thing. I mean, I think it's retarded how they do it with the movies, because it's like, if you use... the F-bomb in a sexual manner, then it's automatically an R. If it's just, like, saying it and you're, like, frustrated about something, then it's okay. You can still get a PG-13. It's,
well,
like, it's still the same freaking word. It's, like, like so stupid, but
some people want any smoking in a movie to be an automatic R.
Yeah. Oh God, what movie was it that
Thank You for Smoking?
No. I don't know, it was just a couple weeks ago. I was watching something with my wife and you know, it was a good movie that a lot of people should see and whatever, and when it came out, it was rated PG, I think. I can't remember what it was, but there were people smoking in it, and it wasn't like a period film or anything. And I'm like, if that came out today and these people had their way, that movie would be rated R. And it's like, how frickin' stupid is that? So it's like, if there's a character smoking in a video game now, it'll probably have to be an M. It's probably what these people are going to want. It's just stupid. But anyway.
Yeah, drink all the beer you want. That's all right.
And you can do that in BioShock, too. There's plenty of liquor laying around that you can drink.
When you get drunk, and it's like...
It's all blurry and everything, yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting, too, you know, like games like that Manhunt 2, where it got rated so severely that basically it couldn't be brought out on any system, so they actually had to go back and...
Then why is the adults-only rating even there?
Yeah.
It's like the NC-17 rating. If no theater will show it... Why have it?
Yeah, what's the point? It must... I don't know if it's just there for the PC market. I don't know. Because they said, I guess, like, Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony, none of them will let a company release anything higher than an M-rated game on their system.
What about when Grand Theft Auto San Andreas got re-rated?
I don't know. I guess it was okay, because they're making money hand over fist. There's always those exceptions, you know?
Yeah, I think you should be able to play whatever you want on your system.
Yeah,
it's
not Sony
or any of these companies. It is not their responsibility to babysit a parent or the child's game.
Yeah.
Because the parents are just going to buy these M-rated games for their kids anyway. They don't care. They just want the kids to shut up so they can go, like, you know, smoke weed or whatever the fuck they're doing. Oh, I'm sorry. We ripped on parents again.
That's okay. They got it coming. Not all of them, but a lot of them do. Nanny staters. Want the government to take care of their children.
Oh, God. I don't think we need to get into that.
Well, they do. But anyway.
But yeah, I think actually find the language more jarring, just because maybe it hasn't been around in a while, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess it's all right.
I think it's only jarring because we're not used to it being in a video game.
Okay. We should probably kind of move this along a little bit. What about, you know, when there's, like, sexuality in video games? I know that's also something that's just kind of new.
Yeah, it's...
But...
It's kind of bizarre, I think, because, you know, games are more interactive, so that's probably why it's kind of goofy, but of course people don't, you know, really have a big problem with, you know, the interactivity of violence in games. You know, it's okay to go, I mean, there's people that get upset about Grand Theft Auto, of course, but, you know, what was it that people got really upset about with Grand Theft Auto?
A pixelated boob you
had to
have.
Hot coffee thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's what people got upset about, was, you know, this... sex act in the game. They didn't care that you were out driving over innocent people on the streets and shooting them all and doing whatever mayhem you want. That's perfectly okay, but heaven forbid if there's a boob somewhere. It's just like Nipplegate with...
Haven't we talked about this before?
We probably have, but it pisses me off so much that talking about.
The double standard between violence and sexuality. I don't know if it's just in America, but...
I think in other countries in the world, they're much more... I think it's kind of almost reversed. Like, violence is kind of like the bad thing, which makes more sense to me. And sexuality is much more open.
Yeah.
Like, especially in Europe and everything.
It probably has to do with religion, so we probably shouldn't get into it.
Ugh.
All right, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with having video games with some... You know,
no.
Like, sexual stuff, because, like, oh, darn, there's, you know.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it makes
like
sense.
Like, good old God of War. It's like, oh, she's got her, you know, junk hanging out. That's fine.
Yeah.
Darn. Because I'm not 13. No one's going to catch me. Who cares?
Well, yeah, and it's realistic, you know, and it's natural. That's always
exactly.
The thing. You know, it's like, it's much more natural than killing people, but that's, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I think... Like you said, I think adults-only games should exist, because, you know, maybe there is some stuff that, yeah, only adults should play. That's fine. It's like, give people the choice.
Well, isn't that what M is, basically, too? I mean...
It's what it's supposed to be, but, you know...
You know, you have to be like... I mean, what is really the difference?
I did get carded when I bought Gun the other day.
You did?
Because it's an M game. It was so funny, because I'm like up there, and the guy's like, oh, I need to see your driver's license, and I'm like, huh? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's one of those evil M games, and he's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, here you go.
I don't think I've ever been carded for a video game. Of course, I don't usually get carded because of my high hairline.
I think that was probably the first time I've ever been carded for a video game. It was amusing.
I don't think they know. Yeah, I was trying to think. I think someone carded me for cigars last week. That was dumb. Yeah, and I'm like, lady? I'm 31 years old.
I am Andrew Ryan.
He's back! Alright, let's move on to our next amazing topic. Food.
This one still just amazes me.
What?
I don't know, it's just funny that people are interested in this, but hey, what the hell?
I think people just like to hear us ramble.
Yeah.
I mean, I do like to have some organization and, you know, thought.
Hell with that.
Fine.
Free-flowing nonsense is much better.
Yeah, so food. I guess
I like to eat food.
Yeah, I do too.
A couple of times a day, at least.
I weigh like 10 pounds more than I did when I did Port Washington. I don't feel very good about that.
I'm getting a little belly, too, because now I sit at my desk all the time. I used to, like, run around and fix everybody's computers, but now I've, like, moved up the chain, which means you sit around more.
I sit around more doing the stuff I do now than when I was a graphic artist.
Yeah.
And
I've probably put on 15 to 20 pounds since we did Port Washington, I bet.
Yeah, I put on 5 pounds when I became self-employed. Is this about food, or... Well, I guess it's related. Becoming self-employed, maybe put on 5 pounds, and I put on 5 pounds since that, so...
We're part of the obese America problem, obviously.
We are?
I guess, you know.
We must become wee fit.
Yeah. No.
Oh, see, the problem with that is if all these, like, non-gamers buy the Wii, as soon as the fad's over, they just won't give a shit. No, the whole industry built up around it will
collapse.
It'll deflate like a cake. Well, I saw a angel food cake yesterday at Miller's.
Oh, nice.
It was like $2. I thought about buying it, but...
Well, there we go. Like, that sort of stuff. I love pumpkin pie. That's, like, my big thing out of, like, cake and pie and stuff. Pumpkin pie is, like, the ultimate. And I don't take frickin' whipped cream on it.
I would agree. I actually don't like pie, but I'll eat that.
Yeah. I don't understand the whole whipped cream thing. But
there's really nothing to it. I mean, it doesn't really taste like anything.
Yeah. It's like, who gives a shit? It's a waste of time. It's like freaking paprika. People put that on deviled eggs. It's like...
I think it's just because it looks like something.
Yeah. It's like, I don't need that. Just give me the damn egg with the, you know, whatever.
Well, I don't know when it was. It might have been Thanksgiving. I was at my aunt's house, and her son is married to someone from Mexico, I believe. Anyway, they had some authentic, really spicy Mexican...
Oh, okay.
...sauce or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, try this, Ben. And I'm like, yeah! Because I really like... really spicy food.
Okay.
If I could actually eat food that was on fire without damaging myself, I would do it.
You should go over to Quaker Steak and Lube, and they have, like, some sort of crazy-ass, hot-ass wings that you have to actually sign a waiver for or whatever when you eat them.
I actually went there, like, last month. My parents were in town, and they're like, ah, let's go to... This is an impression of my stepdad. Let's go to Quaker Steak and Lube! But I didn't have those.
Ah.
They had pretty good margaritas.
Well, sometime. But anyway, back to your hot Mexican food.
Oh, anyway, they're like, I don't know, it's really hot, and I'm like, I'm Ben Heckendorn, and I ate it, and it's pretty good, so I like spicy food.
Cool.
But yeah, you're right about whipped cream. What's the point?
Nah.
You know what else I don't like? I don't like when they have that cake frosting that's like whipped cream frosting.
Ugh.
I like the super sugary frosting.
Yeah, you gotta have that shit that like just rots your teeth right off when you bite into it. Otherwise, what the hell's the point? Again, you know, it's like, If you're doing something bad, you might as well go all the way out.
If you have, like, a wedding cake or something, and it's got one of those, like, frosting cake roses, and it's
God.
You don't like those?
Those things are nasty. You're probably one of those people that just takes the rose and throws it in your mouth.
That's right. I'm like, get in there!
See, that's, like, too much for me. I mean, I actually don't have much of a sweet tooth anymore, really. It's kind of funny. In the last 10 years or so, I've rarely eat anything sweet. It's probably because of my high...
Don't you ever want, like, chocolate and stuff?
Very... Every now and then I'll have a Snickers bar at work, but it's pretty rare. It's probably because of my ultra-high Coke intake, so I get all the sugar I need from that.
I need a 100 grand bar today. They're on sale at Miller's. They've got this really great grocery store here in Verona called Miller's, and you'd think it would be overpriced to look at it, but it's actually got really awesome prices, even cheaper than Cub.
And it has the Carnival of Values.
Oh, that's
which
right!
Which is almost the Circus of Values from Bioshock.
Yeah,
You just gotta wait to hear that little song when you go in there someday. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I was walking in Miller's one day, and it said Carnival of Values above the frozen dinner aisle or whatever. And I was thinking, oh no! Waiting in a failed underwater utopia!
Waiting for a big daddy to come walking up. Oh, God.
Yep, over in, like, the sandwich meat aisle. I was like... But anyway, yeah, Miller's has some really great prices.
They are pretty cool.
Well, I think it's because they know if they don't have good prices, everyone will just go to, like, Cub.
Yeah, they'll go to the...
Up the road, so they're like, you know what? Let's have good prices.
Yeah. You gotta survive somehow. Stick it to the man.
Well, anyway, So food, Jones and I were talking, we both have fairly boring food intake diets.
My wife is quite frustrated by my lack of exploration in the area of food.
What does she say?
I don't know. She actually will eat about anything. You know, like she eats sushi and, you know, salads and...
I tried that once.
All sorts of... She'll eat about anything, you know, if somebody throws it in front of her just to try it. Like, she's one of those people who is actually experimental when it comes to food, where I'm very, very laid back. You know, I like my tacos and my frozen pizzas and...
What kind of frozen pizzas do you eat?
I'm a big fan of Tombstone.
I would concur.
I do like the Jack's Rising Crust. Those do kick ass. I don't partake of them very often anymore. And then for an actual, like, pizza place, Papa Murphy's kicks ass.
Oh, yeah, that is pretty good. One thing I don't like, people buy all these really cheap pizzas or quick chip pizzas, the crust is, it's like, there's nothing to it.
Well, some of those are, like, freaking awesome. Like, they might still have them at Quick Trip. They had the Urge pizzas.
Right.
Which are, like, the freaking cardboard with, like, a thin layer of sauce and some cheese slapped on it. I don't know. Those things are awesome because I'd cook them. I wouldn't even cut the things. I'd just hold the whole pizza up and just eat it that way. Those things just kicked ass.
The Cheese Mountain pizzas they used to have at Quick Trip, that was actually my favorite pizza of
those
all.
Those are pretty good.
They changed them a lot, but when you get one of those right out of the oven, oh, God, shove it right in your mouth.
Well, they got, like, that big gelatinous puddle of cheese on them. It's, like, awesome. It's the like crust. This one huge landmass of cheese on there.
Well, see, I love starch, so that's why I obsess over the crust.
Oh, okay. I am a big bread fan, so...
You should try those at Miller's, because that's where you get... You shop
we
there,
We shop
right?
there yeah. quite a bit, yeah.
They're usually always out, but in that bread thing where the mirror is, they've got those three baskets. The one in the middle, it's called, like, bucho rolls or something. You get those, you dip them in beef stew. It's tits.
Wow.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's a bucho roll?
It's like some French
Take the
thing.
Car. That's what I bought it for.
I am Jean Renault. I made these. I like beef stew. I always have at least four cans of that laying around.
See, I'm not a beef stew fan. I do like tomato soup with saltines crushed up in them.
Oh, yeah?
I love, like, saltine crackers. I'll eat, like, a whole bag of those. Saltine crackers and Coke. That's just an awesome combination.
That sounds kind of toxic.
That's why it kicks ass.
Well, that's why I like Diet Pepsi, because it burns your throat as it goes down. You really know you're drinking something.
Yeah, exactly. You know one great combination from my childhood that I need to re-explore?
What?
Is Wonder Bread and Doritos. I would take a slice of Wonder Bread and then pile Doritos on it, take the other slice, and then smash it together. And that was goddamn good. I enjoyed that.
Huh.
So there you go, people. There's a fun new food group for you right there. Yes. Completely unrecognizable to man when it's all done.
It has its own food pyramid.
It should.
Rachel Ray has nothing on Jones.
Corn on the cob's good, too.
Really?
Yeah, I like corn on the cob. I don't put that between two slices of Wonder Bread, though. I just put butter on it and eat it. Maybe I should put it between some Wonder Bread. I don't know.
You know what I hate, though, is any sort of food. Corn on the cob I'll eat, but I, you know...
Get stuck in your teeth so you don't like it, or what?
Well, that's true. I have really, really close teeth, so anything gets stuck in them. But, any sort of food that's, like, some sort of, like, encapsulated thing, like peas or beans,
yeah.
I hate any of that. Because, like, it pops in your mouth and squirts out goo, and then you've got, like, this shell of whatever it was floating around in your mouth. I don't want that in my life. Like, yeah, if I get a chicken pot pie, which I never really buy, but if there's peas in it, I pull them out because I hate them.
Yeah, I don't like peas and stuff. I don't know why. I've always liked corn, though, for some reason.
I would agree that it's better, so for whatever reason that I cannot think of, I agree.
Yeah. It's one of the few vegetables I enjoy. I like carrots, too, but grilled cheese is a good time.
Yeah. Oh, I made some cheese curds the other day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's because apparently Dale tried and failed, according to Dave and Mary.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let's do this up. So we made some cheese curds.
Awesome.
In that grill thing. Oh, if you would like to make your own cheese curds at home, here is the recipe. Get a bag of cheese curds, naturally. Breadcrumbs, particularly like kind of bigger breadcrumbs. They usually come in like a little can. Okay, here's what you do. Dump the breadcrumbs on a plate. Then crack some eggs into a bowl or something and add some milk. Stir briskly. Put cheese curds in that crap. Then roll it in the breadcrumbs, and then put it in the fryer. Once the cheese curds float for about 30 seconds, I don't know, let them float for about 30 seconds, then pull them out and eat them. Because if you let them go too long, they'll go... They'll kind of, like, lose their structure. But, yeah, once they're boiling, once they float for about 30 seconds, they're ready to eat. Enjoy.
You know what's a really great thing with cheese curds? Like, I'd always eaten them cold before.
Right.
Like, cold and squeaky.
Oh, microwave?
Yeah, stick them in the microwave for a few seconds. That's actually really goddamn good. I was at some... I think I was at one of my friend's housewarming parties, like, late last year or something, and somebody there had brought cheese curds, and they were, like, whipping them in the microwave, and I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, no! But then I'm like, well, what the hell, I'll try it, and I'm like, that's actually pretty damn good.
There's this restaurant on the not the Wisconsin River, the Mississippi River, called The Roadhouse.
Is Patrick Swayze there, like, ripping people's throats out?
No, he wasn't.
No, that's too bad.
My friends were like, we gotta go to this place, and I was like, would you shut the fuck up about The Roadhouse? I got so sick of hearing about it. Anyway, we went there, and the food was really good, but I could hardly eat, you know. I like to eat, but I can't really eat very much at once, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, they had beer batter deep-fried cheese logs. It was like, I don't know, probably like a tube of, I don't know if they use like string cheese or what, but it was like a tube of cheese, and it was, so basically like a giant beer battered cheese curd. Imagine that. It's pretty damn good, but I could
only eat heart attack on a stick, basically.
I could only eat a couple, and I'm like, oh, cool. But yes, it's called the Roadhouse, and it's just north of, oh, what's that place called? DeSoto?
Hmm.
How about this? It's south of La Crosse. There we go.
There you go.
All right.
Much better landmark.
Okay. Well, we still got time. Well, I don't know. What other food things?
I don't know. I've come up with more than I thought I would so far.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of salads.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just
I'll eat one.
Don't
I
get
think I
into
actually
it.
Ate a salad last week, but it was a Pizza Hut, and then I followed it with a bunch of unhealthy food.
Well, of course.
Yeah, they have it at Pizza Hut. It's like they throw you a bone. It's like, yeah, here's some healthy food. Now eat grease.
Yeah, here you can pretend to be good for like 5 minutes.
Okay. I don't know if you've ever had it before, but go to the Pizza Hut lunch buffet and get their cinnamon breadsticks.
Oh, yeah, I've had those. They're pretty good. Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, what about Chinese restaurants that have that fried bread dough balls?
Yeah.
Do you have that?
That stuff's wanky. I had that when we went over to the Dragon Inn or whatever the hell that place is over here. It was, you guys had those one night. God, what do they call those?
I think they call them Chinese donuts here, or Chinese bread.
Yeah, something. I don't know, they were like too sweet for me.
They're like these bread balls that are deep fried and then coated with sugar.
Yeah, they're kind of like a donut hole almost, except even sweeter and fried.
So what's like the best food to eat but that you like that might not be good for you, though? Personally, my favorite food is spaghetti. I don't know about you, but...
I do love pizza. Pizza's probably my favorite food, but, like, when I, like, indulge myself, I love a nice, wonderfully cooked slice of prime rib. Mm. That's probably about my favorite thing in the world. I had at Arthur's there in Spring Green on some ridiculous high school dance or something where we had to go out to eat and stuff beforehand. Went there and had this just... nice and bloody hunk of prime rib. And usually I'm not a big fan of rare stuff, but I don't know, that cut of meat was awesome. It was probably the single best meal I've ever had in my life. Because it was like just floating in all the juices and everything.
And you still remember this?
Oh god, it was awesome. I remember my date was
well, that
like...
that place is still there, why don't you go back there and get some of it?
Yeah, I should try it. I remember my date was like, oh my god, tell them to take that back. Because I told them, you know, to cook it fairly well, and it wasn't even close. And I'm like, oh, Christ, I had to wait almost an hour to get it. It'll take, you know, another half hour for them to go back and dink around with it some more. I'm like, I'll just eat it. And then it wound up being just awesome. Nice and juicy.
Was it covered with au jus?
Mm-mm, no.
Really?
One of the worst things in the world is a dry-ass steak. I hate when steaks are, like, cooked too much and then they're, like, all dry.
Yeah, yeah. But you remember when... on the subject of dryosity. Remember when McDonald's cheeseburgers used to be nice and juicy, like the quarter pounders actually had like some beef to them, literally and figuratively?
Well, now they just have grease oozing out of them.
I know, but I don't know. They used to be so much better. Culver's is usually pretty good. Yeah. Hey, we can talk about Culver's.
Yeah, Culver's ain't too bad. I like their cheese curds. They're pretty good.
Yes, that's true. You know, we all have special relationships with Culver's. Culver's is a brand of restaurants that originated much like a, you know, like kind of just kind of grew out from Sauk City, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Now it's, I think there's going to be one in Arizona.
Yeah, there was one out in Rapid City, South Dakota when we were there.
And Wyoming, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you haven't been there, it's really good. It's kind of one of those regional things like Waffle Houses or Sonic's, but they're coming to a neighborhood near you.
They actually had a Sonic in Rapid City, too.
Did you go there?
No, because we didn't have the time, but that was like the first time I'd ever actually seen one anywhere.
I have a Sonic story. It's kind of gross, but I'm going to tell it anyway, because people like to hear this crap. I finally went to a Sonic last summer in Kansas City, yes, and it was really good.
Really?
But, you know, we talk about like Culver's. Sometimes it seems to kind of go
seems
through
to just
quickly.
Kind of pass through.
Yes, but it's really good.
Without paying the toll.
Oh, now I want to go to Culver's. Anyway, Sonic was so fast, like the hedgehog. How shall I put this?
You didn't make it in time?
No, I made it. No, but, you know, basically as soon as I got back, I was like, well, I got to go to the, you know, toilet. And what came out smelled like onion rings.
Nice, so it went through that quick.
I swear to God on a stack of Bibles. I'm like, oh my God! But it was really good.
Well, I guess I'm glad I did not eat there.
Oh, it's good, but I mean, yeah.
You just gotta be near your hotel.
It's so good, it's Sonic good. So there's some cool...
Yeah, so Culver's is a good time.
Oh, and if you're ever in... Is it Menominee Falls or Menominee that's a suburb of Milwaukee?
Menominee, I think.
Okay, yeah, because I think Menominee Falls is up north. Anyway, in that little town, the little hamlet, there's a place called Oscar's Custard or something, or Pop's. It's Pop's Custard, because Oscar's is a little chain. Anyway, that has the best freaking custard you'll ever have. It beats Culver's, hands down. It's so good.
Awesome.
But it's only one little store, so... And I'm sure the reason it's good is probably like 90% fat.
Oh, yeah. They got the cattle right out back that they're just sucking the milk right out of and pumping it right in the machine.
If you're ever in the Midwest, go to a Culver's. It's blue-shaped with ovals. and you might even see some of my work.
Yes.
I used to design the menu boards. Then I became whatever it is I do now.
And that's where I met my wife.
Oh, that's... How ironic!
Yeah. But I won't go into the story, but yeah. Yes, I did meet her at a Culver's, and it was kind of odd, but...
You should sell that story to him, Craig Culver.
That's true. Hey, they could put it on some sort of advertising.
Yeah.
Meet your future wife at Culver's.
Get in there. All right. Well, I think we've talked about food enough. We have a little bit of time.
Yes. If people enjoyed it that much, maybe we'll return to it someday.
The BenHag.com podcast has now become the food podcast.
We're going to kick the hell out of the Food Network.
How many packs of cigarettes a day do you think Rachel Ray smokes?
I don't even know who Rachel Ray is.
She's like the Food Network guru woman.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I don't know. I bet she smokes like a chimney. She's like, this is really good pie. You know, she sounds like Angie
Harmon. And
then
she goes,
she's like, this is delicious. I'm only eating 2 bites of it, but it's delicious.
It's amazing.
Okay. You don't know who Rachel Ray is. She's a really good contender for, like, future, can't think of her name, Christy Alley.
Oh, okay.
You know?
All right.
Like, but now look at me! Of course, Britney Spears could be, too.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
She's young Christy Alley.
Hey,
Christy Alley begins.
She was not too bad.
Yeah, she was pretty nice.
Well, I mean, how could she, I mean... You know, as we all know, her first starring role was in the cinematic masterpiece, Star Trek II. So,
cinematic masterpiece.
Star Trek II is awesome.
Oh, God. Another overrated pile.
Oh, get out of here. Why don't you go suck Ridley Scott's cock or something?
No, thanks.
But anyway, she was in that movie, and since she was near William Shatner,
oh, God.
His awesomeness kind of transferred to her, kind of like radiation.
Maybe that's why she ballooned up later on in life.
She was pretty young in that too, wasn't she?
Yeah, probably, because that would have been like 30 years ago almost, right? 25, I guess.
No, that one was like an 82.
Yeah, so 25, so she would have been, she's probably in like mid-20s or something, probably. She's probably around 50 these days. Something like that.
You know who she looks like? She looks like an older Fergie, the, you know, Black Eyed Peas escapee.
See, I love how out of touch I am with this pop culture crap, because I don't know who the hell Fergie is either.
You know, she's that bimbo who was, like, the woman in Black Eyed Peas, and then she's like, ah, I'm too cool for this group. I'm going to sing on my own.
I don't even know who the Black Eyed Peas are. I've heard these names, but I don't know any of their music. I don't know anything about them, because they all make that crap that I don't like to listen to.
Well, you know, a lot of people like don't like country and whatnot.
Yes.
But the thing is, if you listen to most modern music or rap, basically they either talk about two things. They talk about how much money they have or how cool they are.
Or how many hoes they have.
Or going to a club. That's every single freaking song. Like that Pink song they play every 3 minutes on the radio. She's going to a club in it. Her last big hit song, she was going to a club. You know?
Really? I can't believe it.
All these frickin' songs are about going to clubs, and all the Fergie songs are about how cool she is, allegedly.
Hmm.
But, again, you know, you said you're kind of... Well, it's not like I sit in the supermarket reading through, like, every, like, tabloid, but I just kind of, you know, pick this stuff up. Oh, okay, I listen to the radio. Maybe that's
That would do it right there. Oh, one more thing with food. When I was in South Dakota, I did get to go to an actual chuck wagon meal, and that was pretty cool. Like, they actually give you, like, the tin plate and everything.
Oh, yeah?
And then they had a potato, and when you'd go up to the dude with the potato, it was in foil, and he would actually slam it down on the plate, so it would, like, get all mashed up. That's how they did mashed potatoes, I guess. They just go bam and slam it down. And then they, like, piled a shitload of beef on it, and then, they like, dumped applesauce in there, and there was it corn or mashed potatoes? Mashed potatoes were in there, too. They just, like, pile it all on the plate, then they take, like, a piece of... whatever that paper is that you put between food.
Parchment paper?
Well, something like that.
Wax
whatever.
Paper?
Wax paper, that's what it was. And then they threw a biscuit and some other little dessert-type treat on there. And then there was, like, this whole, like, music show while we got to eat. But so that was a little fun food thing. The roast beef was probably the best roast beef I've ever had. It was actually really good.
But it wasn't as good as the prime rib.
No.
Hey, what about that Dave and Buster's place? I'd go there if they're not around here. It's basically Chuck E. Cheese for adults.
Oh, okay. Well, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Sounds interesante.
Well, we have a few minutes here to talk about what games we've been playing, so I guess this is a quick list.
We already talked about BioShock a bit, of course. So.
I bought and have been playing through Stranglehold. It's pretty cool, although I think it's going to be kind of short, but whatever.
Have you played it online at all yet?
I've tried, but I haven't been able to get one to go. I don't know if enough people have it. A couple of people on my friends list have it, so I don't know. I haven't played my Xbox a lot lately, but I bought it. I also bought that Alien Hominid game on Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, but it's really freaking hard.
Yeah, I've played, like, the demo, and it was like, God damn, this game's a bitch.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of, like, Earthworm Jim or some of those games, but
yeah.
I thought I would support a game of that type by giving them $10.
Well, that was nice of you.
I tried the Medal of Honor Airborne demo, you know? I never thought I'd say this, but I'm sick of killing Nazis in World War II.
What?
I've had enough.
Who are you, and what have you done with Ben Heckendorf?
I have saved World War II 4 times. I have done my service to this country. It is time.
I'm
to
sure
move
it
on.
Needs to be saved a few more times.
No, it is time to move on to a new war, onto Call of Duty 4.
I did like it in the Medal of Honor Airborne demo, though, where like you start out getting airdropped into the area, and then you can pretty much land wherever you want.
Because
I played it a couple of times, and the first time I was like, oh, I'll be kind of smart about it and land on the outskirts of the town and then come in kind of stealthily or whatever. Then the second time I was like, ah, screw it, and just, like, dropped right into, like, the headquarters building that was, like, right in the middle of all the chaos and just, like...
Did you say Leroy Jenkins as you went?
Probably should have, but it's kind of cool. You know, it's kind of a variable game in that way. You can play it however you want to. You know, you can make it more almost stealthish, or you can just be like balls to the wall and
screw
it.
So would you buy it, Gamefly it?
I'd Gamefly it, I think.
Gamefly is now a verb.
Yeah, it's much like Google or whatever.
I suppose fly is a verb.
Yeah.
Unless it's a noun.
But, yeah, so...
Oh, okay, so what else have you been playing besides the Medal of Honor Airborne demo?
Well, I played, I picked up Gun the other day, like I said, and I played it for, like, 9 hours and beat it.
Another short game?
Yeah. It was fun, though, and worth $11, like I said before.
Lost Planet was kind of short, too. I think it was, like, 8.5 hours.
Yeah.
But I was fine with it.
Yeah. At least someone's got the multiplayer and all that, which is cool. But, yeah, Gun's completely single-player, and, it's kind of neat. It's, you know, it's fairly linear, but it has a little bit of kind of the open world aspect where you can go and do these different missions. Like, you can go and be, like, a ranch hand and help this guy out on his ranch, and then you can do, like, Pony Express missions and stuff like that. So, kind of side quests and all that. So, it's fun. And then the... Do you have a question?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
I'll say it later.
And then the one I was playing last night was amazingly, I got a new release from Gamefly, and Blue Dragon came while I was on vacation. And after playing the demo for it, I wasn't exactly excited about it, but I was like, yeah, what the heck, it's coming through Gamefly, I might as well try it out. And I was playing it last night, and it's actually fairly fun. It's, you know, anybody, I think, who's into, like, the Final Fantasy-type games or that sort of stuff, the Japanese RPGs, I guess they're called, would be into it, I think. But, the only thing I found that's kind of annoying about it is it's kind of got, you know, kind of the kiddie-focused stuff, you know, where you got, like, these three kids that are saving the world, of course, and so some of the stuff's kind of juvenile in it.
When was the last time kids ever saved the world?
Well, it happened all the time in Spy Kids, you know, but and then the other, like, annoying thing...
Carla Gugino.
Yes. Thank goodness for her. And, there's a lot of repetition in the battles and stuff so far I've noticed. Like, you know, you'd be going through this, like, desert-type area, and there's just a bunch of, like, the same creature you have to keep fighting and whatever to level up. You know, it's that sort of stuff. So that's gotten a little boring in spots, and then...
Are you going to bother beating it?
I don't know if I will or not. It's, like, 3 discs long, so...
Oh,
I'll,
brother.
I'll play for
they
a while
all
yet.
Three at once?
Yep. Yeah, thank goodness. I was like, eh.
It wasn't, like... getting a TV show.
No, where they only give you 1 disc at a time, but the only really annoying thing other than kind of the monotonous fights has been that even though you go to this little village and they're like, oh, you can save either by going to that orb over there or by going to the main menu, well, there's certain areas where you can't save, because I was in like this ancient ruins thing last night and I got to the point where I'm like, okay, I want to quit for the night. Oh, hell no. I had to play for like another 45 minutes to an hour before I could find a save point. And that was kind of annoying. I wasn't very happy about that. Kind of took a little of the life out of the game for me.
Hey, did you ever play Lunar the Silver Star on the on your beloved Sega CD?
Nope. Is it any good? Have you?
I've played it, but, you know, I don't like RPGs, but I think it's supposed to be pretty good.
Hmm.
It's one of those rare games like Snatcher.
Nice.
We've got to play that Hell game sometime.
Yes.
I paid $10 for that.
There it is,
I
looming. The one game that's coming out that I would kind of like to, that is an RPG that looks interesting, is that Eternal Sonata game. I'm kind of curious about that one, because like the whole visual style of it looks really neat, and it looks more, a little more action-oriented almost.
What about that Mass Effect game? Is that an RPG?
Yeah, it's like how the Knights of the Old Republic games were and all that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm very pumped about that game. That's like the... Before playing Bioshock, that was like the one that I was like, oh god, that's going to be like the game for me this year, where now, I don't know, it's a pretty tall order for Mass Effect to live up to it.
But. Okay, Bioshock is what I was going to bring up. I'm not disappointed that it doesn't have it, because the game itself is awesome, but how cool would a multiplayer in Bioshock have been?
That would have been awesome, because you could have people playing Big Daddies and stuff, and...
Using the plasmids.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, how would you like some bees?
Well, you know, when they talk about, like, sequels with it, like now, I guess, with Metal Gear Solid 4, there's going to be a Metal Gear Solid, like, online game that's coming out, like, separate from it. I read about that, like, maybe a month ago. Like, where I guess...
hope they update the camera, because when I played through Part 3, the camera system is so out of date.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could see where, you know, maybe if they follow that model and go, oh, wow, well, this game's been really successful, there seems to be an interest for a multiplayer, they could almost bring out a, you know, more multiplayer-focused Bioshock game.
I'd buy it.
Which would be cool. Yeah, I think that'd be really wicked. People could be the different types of splicers and everything, you know, you could have, like, spider splicers, and
then when you start a round, you, like, get to pick which plasmids you want, like, you get maybe 3 plasmids or something.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
That could be pretty wicked.
You could kill a person and throw their corpse at somebody else.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we should probably wrap it up here.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. Oh, short ending topic. Will we be getting Halo 3? Because by the time the next podcast comes out, that'll have been released.
That is true. It comes out in, what, 12 days now?
2 days ago?
Yeah, 2 weeks from, like, Tuesday. Yeah,
yeah, so Tuesday after next.
So we'll probably be podcast... Well, maybe the next podcast will be up before it comes out, or like right around the day it comes out.
Well, if we do it on time, it would be like a Wednesday, but...
Yeah, so it'd be like right around that time.
So, are you going to get it?
I'm still undecided at this point. I mean, I've kind of been probing some of the people on my friends list, and they're kind of like, oh, I don't know. So, I'm sure a lot of people are going to get it, though, so I'll probably get it eventually. I don't know if I'll get it, like, day one or not. Unless I really want to be a freak and go to the midnight thing, because there's, like, a ton of stores that are having midnight sales for it, which could be interesting, like Best Buy and Walmart, and I read like 1,000 stores nationwide or something are going to have midnight
openings. That
sounds
like a little much. I'll go to a midnight movie, and I don't know about a midnight game launch.
Hey, I went to a midnight book launch this year, so it's like, what the hell's, you know, I'm Mr. Video Game Geek here, so I suppose I should step up there, but I don't know. It'd be interesting. I probably should go and get Halo 2 first and
play through
that.
But it'd be like the Wii thing. There'd be all these, like, you know, like...
Oh, you just painted yourself into a corner.
I
think we all know what you're going to say, though, so you don't even need to say it. But yeah, I would agree that, yeah, you're probably right on that.
All right.
We'll leave it unsaid.
So maybe we'll see what's going on with Halo when we see you talk to our listeners again in 2 weeks.
But, yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't comment on, are you going to get Halo 3, listeners?
Yeah.
Post your thoughts.
Obviously, some people are, because it's already sold over 1 million in pre-orders.
Oh, I'm sure it'll sell a lot of copies.
It's going to be massive.
Yes, so it'll have a mass effect on the industry. All right, well, I think we've probably talked at you for long enough. Tell us what you thought of the amazing food topic.
And if you would like more eccentric topics like that in the future.
Because video games are fun to talk about, and we all know I'm not going to talk about my own projects, because I talk about that enough in other venues, so...
You have projects? I had no idea.
All right, well, I guess we'll see you all next time.
Adios.
And happy gaming.
I am Andrew Ryan.
For the last time, you aren't!
Damn it!
Because I am Andrew
Ryan!